And to all of those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless servant, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, come on. There's no way to hear that passage and not feel some sort of way about that line, so we might as well all just talk about it. Amen. How many of you here grind your teeth at night? Come on, I know I'm not the only one. Gnashing of teeth literally means grinding one's teeth together, having one's teeth set on edge, or biting down in pain, anguish, or anger. Our bodies are so wise. Our bodies often tell us information that our minds are not even conscious of yet. So when I wake up in the darkness gnashing my teeth, I have to ask myself a few questions to connect my mind to my body. What am I in pain over? What is causing me anguish or fear? There are times when I wake up and my jaw is so clenched tightly, my teeth aching from grinding them together throughout the night, that I have to stop and move my jaw around like a sheep or a cow chewing cud. If you've never seen a sheep or a cow chew cud in real life, it's way cuter than that. But when these moments occur, which is more often than I'd like, it's my body telling me something important. It's my body's way of telling me that somehow I have found myself thrown into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. In our scripture today, we have three slaves. Now, let's be clear first what that means. The word slave in our scripture is a servant, not an unpaid laborer who has no freedom or agency for the rest of their lives and their children's lives the same. That definition of the word slave, which came to be around 1619, is not transferable to the context we are reading about today. Thus, a better word for the context in our gospel would be to say that there are three servants, which is the word used in most translations of this passage. Three servants who have all been given talents or money equivalent to a few months' salary. They were given this money by their boss right before it says he left them and went on a journey. This is a story told by Jesus as a final judgment parable. In essence, Jesus is saying, I believe, that his disciples have been given gifts, and now he is leaving them for his journey into Jerusalem, to the cross. So the parable is meant to teach them, and now us, what we are to do with the gifts that God has given us in this ministry that we say we are about, as servants to Jesus, to his way of life, which is to serve our neighbors. So given this lens through which we read and understand the story, it is neither about economics or about God judging humans after they die. This parable is about how we invest our gifts to serve God and neighbor right now, right here on earth, to build the kingdom of heaven, abundance, Three servants are given talents, money, gifts, assets. And two invest and they double their assets. And one hides his, just buries it in the ground. To the two servants that doubled their talents, the master says, come into the joy of your master. To the servant that buried the talent, the master says, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The lesson is simple, really. It's not rocket science, and we don't need to overthink it. When we are given talents, gifts, or skills, which we can call assets, we are to use them for the common good, to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and not to hide or bury them. That is very simple, and it's a common understanding of this text. So there it is, plain and simple. Just go do that. Wait, what? It's not that simple? I mean, just figure out what you're called to do and then go do it, right? No, okay, yeah. There is actually a lot that can be really difficult about that. I mean, first, how do I even know what my gifts are? I mean, that alone can take years to figure out. And then say, I do know what my gifts are. Say I have the gift of teaching and I want to offer that to the world. But you see, teachers get paid horribly, in case you didn't know. So instead, I become a computer tech or whatever. I have no idea what computer techs make, but probably more than teachers. But anyway, I do what I need to do to pay my bills. Perhaps I am less concerned about living out my gifts in the moment than I am about paying my bills. Or say I am a man in this culture and my gift is compassion. And I want to offer my gift of compassion to the world. But in this world, men who cry or who show emotion are seen as weak. So I show up in the world with my heart hardened and my compassion hidden, buried, so to speak, because I do not want to be perceived and treated as if I am weak. Or let's say I have the gift of prophecy, and I have come to see clearly that when it comes to people's wish list, the gift of prophecy is hardly ever at the top. The world isn't really crazy about prophets. In fact, it often just ends up killing them. Friends, there are a lot of reasons that we might be tempted to bury our gifts, and the most common reason is fear. Often justifiable and reasonable fear. We sometimes don't offer our gifts to the world because when we do, we can experience pain, anguish, grief, or loss, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Investment involves the risk of loss, period. We hear this statement at the end of every commercial or email or communication that comes from financial management companies because it's true. Investment involves a risk of loss, period. Often when I wake up in the darkness and my jaw is tight and my teeth ache from the gnashing, it is because I too am afraid. I am fearful of loss. As your rector, one of my roles and responsibilities is to help evaluate the assets of grace and then to consider how we will leverage or invest those assets for the good of our community, both those that come here weekly and our larger community. So one way you can think of my role as rector is your spiritual asset advisor. You invest your spiritual assets and I help you, us, manage them. And that seems easy enough, right? I mean, we have hands to serve, we have money to donate, we have space to offer to groups who hold meaningful meetings that change lives. And all of that is very real and important, And those investments are low risk investments, kind of like bonds. Low risk investing involves buying assets that have a low probability of incurring losses. And while you're less likely to see losses with a low risk investment, you're also less likely to earn a significant return. Investment involves the risk of loss. Buying assets or leveraging assets in low risk investing never causes me to find myself thrown into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But sometimes I find that we as a church have assets that could be invested, I think, as the spiritual asset advisor, in ways that have a significant return. And as the rector, along with the vestry, I am called to use my gifts to make these investment decisions. Turns out, just like any other asset manager, sometimes I get it right and sometimes I get it wrong. When I get it wrong, I wake up in the dark with a tight jaw and sore teeth, and I end up chewing cud. But that is the nature of my job. That's the nature of being human. That is definitely the nature of being a Christian. Investment comes at the risk of loss. Look, friends, I think when it comes to investing, we as a church have gotten many, many things right. And our assets have had a significant return. And I think we have invested in certain things that have had some level of loss. But just like the market, the gains and losses vary dramatically day by day. And just like some of you watch the stock market with a clenched jaw, I watch the spiritual asset market of our church with some level of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Grace has entered into a new understanding of our relationship with unhoused, poor people with some level of addiction and mental health needs that are simply not being met in our community. We have invested our spiritual gifts of welcome, embrace, warmth, food, clothing, and shelter, all the things Jesus tells us to do. We've done that. And some whom we have shared with have grown from that investment, and some it is still too soon to say the market is in flux. And yet I have witnessed many of you sitting here right now grow tremendously because of that investment. And yet for some of that investment, we have experienced loss. Now you ask, what have those losses been? One is that we have lost the experience or the illusion of separation between us and people with immediate and urgent needs in a real way. We often have to meet the unhoused right here on our doorstep, because when we invest in relationship with them, turns out they will show up. And sometimes people with real and urgent needs show up in ways that can feel scary, maybe even unsafe, in ways that can feel risky. The question becomes for us as a community and for me as the spiritual asset manager, how much loss am I, are we willing to risk to experience a significant gain? This is something that your vestry is pondering together. This is a conversation also for you who invest in grace to have together. What gains do you want to see come from our investment in welcoming the stranger, feeding the hungry, and yes, housing the homeless? Our work together is this: asking ourselves and each other, how much risk is too much risk? And when are we just burying our assets in the ground? What causes us to grind our teeth in the dark, and what brings us into the joy of God? We will each see this differently, and each of our opinions matters as we seek to imagine and build a community which creates abundance for all. And so, what is the asset that is required to imagine, dream, and risk together? Trust. Jesus says, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. What I promise and you can trust that I will do is encourage us in the ways of kingdom building, which is to fear less and love more. Because what we have been promised is that those who have much will be given more, and they will have an abundance to share. We have been promised that when we risk investing together, we will see a significant return. Trust. For those of us that have much are called to invite those that do not in and to share with them, risky as it may be, even when that makes us vulnerable. What we have been told from our greatest spiritual asset advisor is this: do not fear, love is our greatest commandment. So Grace, standing together in that value and principle, following that call and trusting God, we will risk investing together, good and trustworthy servants. And then all of us together will come into the joys of God. Amen.